Welcome to Practical Ramblings Fathers for the third time.
Third time's the charm.
Boom.
My name is Father Tae Hong.
Father Brian.
And we're here back again to talk to you about a new topic. And so for Lent, we're going to discuss about the 14 rules of the Servant of Spirit and its founder, which is St. Ignatius of Loyola.
So St. Ignatius came up with these 14 rules of the discernment, and before we get into what the rules actually are, there's a few preemptive principles that we have to get into.
Correct.
But even before that,
we have to know who St. Ignatius is.
Well, we got to talk about Ignatius himself.
Yep.
So Ignatius St. Ignatius lived about 1490 to 1556. And he was characterized after his conversion by a very rich and remarkable spiritual self-awareness. And the results of being aware of these internal dispositions, he was able to come up with these rules. The whole story starts with him having a watershed moment when he was in bed being wounded after battle. With the French troops in Pampeluna, and he returned back to his native home, Loyola, and there was given multiple surgeries to fix his leg, which in divine providence actually let him be in bed for way longer than he wanted to, but...
Correct.
He was such a womanizer that when he had a broken leg, he wanted his other leg to be perfectly aligned, so he actually had it rebroken so that it could be healed perfectly so that he would be physically more attractive to the ladies.
But yeah, that should give you a clue of how he thought and how he lived his life.
Kind of vain the guy was.
Yeah.
So, anyways, as he's in bed, he's... reading romantic novels. He's wanting romantic novels. He's wanting to, and the grandeur and womanizer of becoming a knight and moving on in his life. He writes a few love letters while he's in bed. But his, after he was planning what he calls worldly deeds, during the worldly deeds excursion or the fantasy, he felt happy. But then after the fantasy was over, he felt discontented and alone. So, yeah, so after pondering upon deeds. But the Lord had other things in mind.
Correct. So there was no romance novels. But what was available was that he was at actually at a convent and within their hospital. And so the only thing that was on hand was either the Bible or the Life of the Saints. And he says, I want nothing to do with the Bible. So he read the Lives of the Saints. But he noticed that whenever he read the Lives of the Saints or even Scripture, that he would always go back to it. That it gave him life. That he liked to think about those things and how beautiful, how inspirational the saints and the lives were. But when he talked, when he looked at the romance novels or you think about the vainglory stuff, yeah, they will give him happiness. But in the end, it left him hungering for more and more emptier than he was in the beginning. So that kind of spurred him on to saying that there's a reason why God has allowed this to happen. And so how do I help others make sense of what I'm feeling and what are some rules to guide people to know that they can have an authentic relationship and friendship with God?
Yep. So the area, right, that I think we most struggle with maybe nowadays, which I think we all do because we live busy lives, is to become aware. Ignatius, it took him to be in a hospital room to be actually become aware of these inner workings of his heart and the inner workings of the Lord. And so he becomes aware. And so one of the first... subsets that even before we get into the rules of discernment is we have to be aware of what's going on interiorly, mm-hmm. And what's leaving us to joy and happiness and what is not. So in some sense, to do what Aristotle said, you know, to live a reflective life
versus an unreflective life is not worth living is what a pagan philosopher said. So to be able to take that to heart and say, okay, how do I reflect on my life and what brings me joy and peace in that? The other thing, the next step would be to understand it. Worldly projects causes delights, and then kind of for Ignatius always turns to this sadness, and it does not have the feel of God in action, but rather the bad spirit. Thinking about sacred projects causes delight. Consistently last. This does have the feel of God's action. This is the second understanding. And so to be able in our lives, what actions in my life have a consistency to feeling God's presence and what actions in my life do not pertain to the actions of God. And then lastly, is every discernment is supposed to allow us to take action. So we don't just discern for the sake of discerning and just getting our own self-help perpetual messed up. So there actually has to be an action to it. So the action step is to actually take action. So if you become aware of it, understand it, reject bad spirits and accept good spirits. So reject this bad and accept the good. And I realize we have some terms there that we might have to describe a little bit more. So,
sure.
Dave, you want to go into initial principles?
Yeah. Before...
Or key terms.
Yeah. So we'll look at the initial principles. Like, for example, the main question is, you know, we all know that it's good to have a relationship with God, but some of us may not be there. So why is there a need to have a relationship with God, to have a friendship with God? Well, the first truth is that He created us and He loves us and He wants a relationship with us. Are we aware of that? Do we know that to be true, right? Because God's very active. He's not a passive guy that He creates the world and says, good luck, guys. I'll see you when the second coming comes around. Lord God's like, no, I want to be there for you. I want to be with you and I want to be there for you. And so I'm going to give you a special helper called the Holy Spirit. And let's talk about stuff, right? And so that's why He's very active in our lives. And the rules that St. Ignatius gives to us help us kind of decipher amidst the busyness of our life. Is this God's will for me? Is it just my wishful thinking or my will? Or is this a distraction or temptation from the evil one, right? And so His rules helps us to be more aware. Okay, this is what I feel in my heart. This is what came in prayer, and I feel that God's pushing, God's calling me to this decision because all these signs have lined up, and I feel at peace when I make this decision, right? And so God's will is something that we can know. So the discernment spirit is really trying to understand, what does God want of me? What does God wish for me? In the initial stage, it's a lifelong learning process. We may not get it at first. That's why it takes several years. To know, like for example, if you were to ask Father Brian and I, how do we know we became priests? Well, just little clues, but we didn't know that's what God wanted of us. We had to practice that. We had to learn how to pray and be in the presence of God. God's will is something concrete, and we can know it, but we have to ask, and we have to have this relationship with God. Second of all, it is possible to discern it. I know many times it gets frustrating because part of discernment is Him teaching us to be patient. And saying, hey, I'm not going to answer you right away, right? Because you're living in a very fast, gratifying world. But a relationship takes time. So in order for you to understand that, it's going to happen in our relationship with each other. It's not going to be like, okay, God, I have a problem. You fix it. And peace. See you later. No, it's every day coming back to God, speaking with Him, listening to Him. and also, St. Ignatius' rules... It's awesome because he lived this in his own life. He believed that God deals directly with us. And so that's why it's important for us. Are we aware of what we're feeling in our hearts? Are we aware of the thoughts that we have? Are we aware of what our heart desires, right? So God uses all those things, the thoughts in our hearts, the thoughts in our minds, and even the emotions and desires attached with it, right? As human beings, our mood changes a lot, right? And we're imperfect. What we could perceive to be something good, like, hey, I'm called to teach, right? That's a good thing. Becoming a teacher is awesome. But what if God's calling me to do something else? Maybe I'm called to teach by being a father, by being involved with the RCIA or different things. And so how does one know and figure all those things out, right? So the trick is to understand, God, what is it that you want? Why do I have this passion for this particular thing? And like Father Brian said, all this discernment of analyzing, praying, thinking through will require a free will to choose something and to act on that choice, mm-hmm. right? Our world loves to be in this perpetual self-help because nothing happens. We feel good for at least attempting to do something, but it never really follows through. And so if you look at any successful person, they come up with a plan, right? They plan it out, but they actually do something about it where everyone else kind of complains, well, this against me, right? It's another talk for another day.
Soap opera.
Yep. So I'm just going quickly here. And also, I know we're living in a world where the information is quickly at our fingertips. So that's the pressure of like, okay, if I know the 14 rules, then I should get it perfectly. No. It's a complicated process. We don't have to be perfect, but we also don't have to be so defeated by hopelessness, saying, oh, this is too big for me, right? Just take it one step at a time, asking the right questions, praying to God, and then listening to what He wants. To make the decision is not the goal. The goal is to get to know God, right? Sometimes we will make mistakes, right? And what do I mean by the decision is not the goal? Because some people can swing to the opposite end, like, okay, I know the rules, and anything that strikes at me quickly, like one or two signs appear, okay, I'm going to do it. Hold on, right? Right? And so there's that balance between analyzing before you're making a decision, and there are those that have all the right tools and have all the right signs, but they don't want to make that decision. So really the goal is to have a relationship with God, and that means to understand oneself, to be aware of what's going on, to bring it to God, and then ask Him to give you strength to commit to that decision that you yourself have chosen, because it's what God has wanted for you. Yeah, anything else?
Nice. Yeah, the whole entire discernment process is everything, any day, really, a lot of things. We could talk about the different things of the heart, different layers of the heart, but we'll save that for another time. But it's really the sense of, instead of being created by God, but being creating by God.
Mm-hmm.
God is creating us. He's going to create us. It's a very present tense thing that God does for us. And so the goodness of being, and then living in the present moment and saying, what is the Holy Spirit leading me to, this deepening sense of living with the Lord. So some key terms before I let you go. Spirits. What does Ignatius mean when he uses the word experience, or what will mean when we use the word spirits? Spirits is the affective stirring movement of the heart, so joy, sadness, hope, fear, anxiety, etc. That's a really key term. So the spirits are anything that has an affect on us, so that affects our appetites, our... what's another way of saying that?
Like someone who inspires you, like a guide, right? They don't force you to.
No, an affect, a spirit, the affect stirring of movement.
Oh, the affect of. Shoot, I used to know this, not coming to my brain.
So it's kind of a little bit of your emotions, movements of the heart. So, and then to discern spirits is the process by which we distinguish between the kinds of spiritual stirrings in our hearts, identifying those of God and those that are not, in order to accept the good and reject the bad. An example being, when you go home, when you go into a home, you may sense that something's not right, or you may feel at peace. So sometimes at the end of the day, you know, you walk into your house and you just notice something's wrong interiorly because you had a bad fight with your boss or the kids were crazy or, you know, whatever, that something's off. Or even when your kid comes home from school, you can, as a parent, we can pick up that our kid, something's off. And so to take the time and discern what that is for our kid is the same way that we can, as children of God, walk with God to come to a process of, okay, why don't I feel at peace? What is agitating me? And then I can reject that agitation and in that place accept the peace of God. The evil spirit, or the enemy, is another key term. So we're talking about, and this is really a broad stroke for St. Ignatius. Mm-hmm. He doesn't even say Satan himself. He just says demons,
evil spirits.
Even our own weak tendencies, evil spirit, which spring from egoism and disorder sensuality, individuals who can lead us away from God to some extent, bad worldly thinking. So evil spirits doesn't mean the evil one per se. It can be our own brokenness, our own tendencies of brokenness. It can be the evil one. It can be our own disorder. It can be our own egoism. Anyone who leads us away from the Lord is the enemy or evil spirit. The good spirit, obviously this is the one that we're trying to cling to and accept, could be God, angels, theological virtues, implanted in us from baptism, influences for the good. This could be saints, family members, good friends, the Bible, the catechism, other good books. So there's a lot to the good spirit. So it's not just God alone, but anything that brings us towards God, and especially God himself. Yeah, so the take home would be to start becoming aware of your stirrings of your hearts, like your thoughts, feelings, desires, of what you want in life or what's going on in life, or just your own deeper interior awareness, which honestly takes a lot of time and a lot of practice, but can definitely be done. And then to understand, is that from God or is that not from God? Is that the good spirit or the evil spirit? Mm-hmm. And our spirits sometimes are indifferent to either one of those. And then to take action, to eject and remove. And then as we go through the rules themselves, that gives us some flesh and meat when we can pick up that it's the evil one, or we pick up that it's the Lord. And we know that we're pursuing the Lord, and this is how the Lord acts. And this is when we're pursuing the evil one, and this is how the evil one and the Lord acts in that. So we'll get into those rules. Father Timothy Gallagher has a great book called The Sermon of Spirits. It's a proper book. If you want to pick that up, that's on Audible too. But it's also a book, so we'll be going a little bit through that too. And he has a great way of going through the steps. We're really blessed to have that be part of our church. So, all right. Anything else about the rules?
I was just thinking about, you know, we often use the words effective stirrings and movements. We kind of listed too. So, once more, what are you feeling in your heart? Like a certain emotion, and what are your thoughts? Right. I feel happy. Why? Because I met my good friend I haven't seen for a long time. So as you're praying, you're thinking about this. Like, so why did that happen? Right. I felt loved by God for sending this opportunity to be loved by a good friend, right? So I'm just giving you the very simple thing. So the more that you can find different examples in your life and break it down, small things like that, and practice doing that, you'll be very surprised to see how much God is really present, but it took that much time to really unpack the simple occurrence in your life to see how truly God is present and how he desires the goodness, how he desires you. So thank you for tuning us in, and we'll see you next time.
It wasn't English.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast. I'll see you next time.
I think that was good. That was good.
Yeah.
Yeah, subscribe. We need 5 people more to subscribe. And then we'll have 100 subscribers, followers, whatever they're called. What?
Just need 5 more.
You just could need 5 be more.
The lucky 5.
Be part of the 5 here.
So famous.
What do we got? in the last 24 months. We don't have New Mexico, Montana, Arkansas, Louisiana, Mississippi.
So if you're from that area, rep your state well by subscribing.
That's right. Or if you have a friend, just have them go over. If you need to cross the state border, just to download it over there, it'll count. We got West Virginia and New Hampshire are the other ones we don't have.
We promise there's no judgment on our end.
Yeah. What else do we got? Oh, if you haven't listened to the Sisters yet, we're going to try to upload a single Sisters for the IDE Sisters that we had on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Part one and part two. It was a fun conversation that we just had. So
definitely was.
Go back and listen to those. They're very awesome.
Very enjoyable.
Yeah.
What about
thanks for listening to Practical Rambling Fathers. Father Brian.
Father Tay. Until next time.
Stay holy, my friends.